Tonight, you know, I don't know, preachers will do this, and I know I do it, but I'll sit and go over a message, and I mean, you want to bring what God wants you to bring, and you don't want to bring what you want to bring, and then you want to go back and say, well, I'll just do a message that I've done before, you know, sort of cop out and, you know, don't have to study as much, and I said, no, you know, I ain't going to do that. But when you come into a church and all the songs line up to your message, then you know that you're on the right track. And that is, I had cold chills just hearing you all sing those songs. And, you know, I know there's not very many here tonight, but we know someone that is here with us, because it says where two or three are gathered, I'll be there too. And I've been in churches where there's 50, 60 people on Wednesday night, and you can't get three people to sing. So what a blessing it was to hear that tonight. And that was a big blessing to me. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to preach on Love Has a Name. And I want to talk just a few minutes, take a few minutes of your time, preach on. First, I want to read John 3:16. We all know it. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus to thank you for this opportunity to stand and preach tonight, Lord. Thank you for these that came here on a Wednesday night, Lord, to hear the word. And God, just use me tonight as a vessel. God, help me just to get out of the way and be able to just allow you to use me. Allow me to allow that Holy Spirit just to have its free will here tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for the pastor. And I pray, God, you would be with him while he's on vacation and let him get plenty of rest and just help him come back full of energy, Lord. We love you and we thank you for all the blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to say thank you, church, for allowing me to be here. And Josh has always been a blessing to me, the man that can work a job and pastor a church. There's not a lot of those left, and he's an inspiration to me that he can do what he does, and he does a great job at both of them. So amen. God bless him, and let's remember him in prayer. But here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, well, over in John 4:24, you don't have to turn there, but John gives three descriptions of God in that verse. He talks about the Spirit, he talks about that he's love, and he talks about that he's a light. And those three things is what I'm going to be going over tonight. First, we're going to go over the Spirit. Here it says in verse 1, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. How many here would agree with me that a lot of our churches today is bringing the world inside? Yes. What they're trying to do is build their crowds. And I heard a young man just a few weeks ago tell me that we do whatever we can to draw them in. Whatever we can do to draw the crowd, the kids in, we're going to do it, you know. And he told me some things that I don't necessarily agree with to get them to come to church, but he shared that with me. And I couldn't help from thinking how a lot of people are going by it the wrong way, you know. I mean, today, in today's society, they want to try to bring the world into church to get more people to come in. And we know we've got to be careful, because they'll get the wrong spirit, you know. And if they get the wrong spirit, and then they ain't going to be leading God, but they ain't going to be doing things God's way. They're going to be doing it the world way. But it says here in verse 2, it says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. In verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is not in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. So we see the Holy Spirit, and we see the world spirit. And we know who's in all that and who's the leader of that. And we have to battle that every day. And I got to thinking about, and this gave me peace right here, because I have always wondered how that my father, each other in church, and for the 2 years, I think, that I was born, 2 or 3 years old, that my dad got out of church, and he started going out and doing other things that he wasn't supposed to, and it just led to one thing, led to another, and he never did get back in church again. He never did teach me about church, and never did talk about church to me. He never did pray with me. He just completely changed as a person. So I always often wondered and thought, how could my dad been saved if he had done that, if he could live that way without going back? Well, I got to thinking about this verse. When I was reading this verse, I thought about him. I thought about how he allowed the Spirit just to lay dormant inside of him. He didn't use that Spirit no more. That Spirit that came in when he was saved and baptized was still there. But he did not choose to use it. He chose to go to the world and start doing worldly things. And that world took life until the day that he died. And he died at 52 years old, and he lived a young life because of the things that he did. But that's, to me, that right there was telling me how we can get caught up in the wrong spirit. Even though if we're saved and we've got the Holy Ghost in us, we've got to activate that spirit. God's not going to force us to do it. You know, that's not true love. That's not love if he forces us to serve him and to go to church and to pay your tithes and to pray and to witness to people. God's not going to force you to do that. That's something we have to do. We have to ask God for the Holy Spirit to help us do that. And I think that a lot of times we're guilty of not asking the Holy Spirit to help us. Because I know I couldn't stand here and preach without it. I know I couldn't stand in front of any crowd, small or large, without the help of the Holy Spirit. And I know he's not going to give me what I need to bring unless I ask the Holy Spirit to help me do that. I'm not going to line up with what he wants. And I think that a lot of people, and I'm guilty of questioning somebody's salvation sometimes by the way that they live, when really they could just be. And then it says here in verse 4, it says, "Ye are not them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I love that. He can't hate you more than God can love you. You ever thought about that? He can't do anything that God can't take care of. You know, even in Job, you know, look how Job was. And he had to get God's permission before he could do anything to Job. And then, you know, that was a test. We know, you know, and he passed the test, and it was hard. And it's hard on us sometimes, because we go through tests. We go through trials. We go through things that test us sometimes. But, you know, he had to get God's permission in order to do that. And I think about that all the time, because he had, you know, and he has overcome. Through his son, Jesus Christ, he has overcome this world for us, so we don't have to fear it. We don't have to live. Sometimes I see Christians and they're so sad looking and they're so unhappy, and I think, you know, when the doctors told mom that she had cancer for the first time, I said, "What did you think? What did you say?" She said, "I told the doctor," she said, "you know, you don't, no disrespect, but you don't have the last say so. My Lord does. And when he says it's over, it's when it'll be over." So she said she really wasn't scared. She really wasn't afraid. Because she told the doctor, "I win either way. Either your treatments will help me or I'll be with the Lord." Yeah. Now that's the kind of attitude that we need. That's the kind of attitude my mom's always had. And, you know, and I'm grateful to have a mother that has that much faith. Yes. You know, and she's helped me over the years, you know, in situations where I needed faith, where I was weak. And I needed to rely on that. And I'm not there yet, but you know, she's 73 and I'm 57, so I got a little ways to go before I can learn all that. But you know, mom's always been an inspiration to me, because she's always been a fighter, and I know she'll beat this cancer with God's help. And here we see in verse 6, it says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know that we are the spirit, we the spirit of the truth is the spirit of error." You ever noticed how when you're talking to an unbeliever and you're telling them things that you believe in and that's in the Bible, they look at you like you're crazy.
Yes.
Yep. That's just because they don't know. They don't know. They don't have that spirit within them. So they can't understand what you're talking about. If you go up to an unbeliever and tell them that a man got swallowed by a fish and the fish sped him up on the bank, you know, they're going to think you're crazy if they don't believe. But up to another Christian like us that's here tonight, we believe every bit of it.
Yep.
You know? When the three Hebrew children went into the fiery furnace and none of them got burned up, we believe that because we're all Christians and we all have the right spirit within us. But if you don't have that spirit within you, you can't believe that stuff. You're not going to believe. You know, so don't take offense to that when they don't believe you, because we know the reason why. It tells us right there that they ain't going to understand and that they ain't going to know the truth. It says, we are of God. The world don't understand, but we understand because we are of God. You know, I got these glasses a couple years ago. Well, it ain't been a couple years. A little over a year ago, I guess. And I keep having to take them back and get them changed. And I had an eye disease, and I had surgery. And through that, I've had to take them back and get this done and that done and this adjusted and that adjusted. And so finally, I went back this last time, and they said, your eyes is improved. And I said, well, amen. And then I got to thinking about, I don't see how they can improve in 6 months and this and that and other, so I had to have them changed again. Long story short, when I got them this time, they're supposed to change, you know, and be dark like sunglasses outside, transition lens. And they said, well, they're probably just not activating. And I got to thinking about that word today, activate. I like that word. Because that's what the Holy Spirit, that's how we got to do the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. We got to activate it.
Yeah.
We got to start it. We got to help it. You know, it can just lay there and unused. It's a very unused weapon in a Christian is that Holy Spirit. We all have it. It's all there. But it's just if we choose to use it or not. We got to ask God daily. God, through the Holy Spirit, help me do whatever I need to do today to be a light for you, to help someone, to love someone. We can't even love without the Holy Spirit. We don't know how to love. It says it. We're going to go over there here in just a few minutes and get ahead of myself a little bit. But so the first part where I wanted to talk about was the Spirit. Now the second part I want to talk about is love. And us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth. Sometimes it's hard to love your enemies, ain't it?
Yes.
Amen. It's just that don't love you, can care less about you, is one of the hardest things that you could do. Maybe even love someone. He's called us to do that. We can't do that without the Holy Spirit. But through the Holy Spirit, we can do that. And that's who we got to rely on to love someone like that. I don't think we can do it in the flesh. You know, we can try. And, you know, I think we'll fail, but we can try it, but we've got to allow it. In verse 8, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So for you to be a child of God, you've got to. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. Herein is love, that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He took our place.
Yes.
We didn't deserve that, did we? We did not deserve any of that, but he chose to do it anyway. God set up the law, and the law was, you know, would have worked, but it was weak through our flesh to be a propitiation for our sin. What a wonderful act of love. Beloved, if God so loved us, who also, we ought also to love one another. That's how we prove our love to God.
Amen.
That's how we show how much we love God, by the way we love one another. So we got to remember that when we're dealing with someone that we, I don't know, I don't think it says we got to like them, but we got to love them.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have to really like their ways. You don't have to love their ways. But you have to love them. You have to care for them. You know? You have to care for their well-being. You have to care that, you know, just because someone is way, way out there, they're so far away from where you are, that don't, I was there once too. We got to remember that. We got to remember that it ain't always been the way it is now that I can love someone in a Christian way, because I did, there was at one time in my life that I didn't know that love. We should prove our love for God by loving one another. In verse 12, that's how love is perfected. Let's look at verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. So that's how we show God's love. Verse 13 said, hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and done and do, testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. You know, a lot of people thinks it's so complicated to be saved. And I think it's because that's the way we make it sometimes. You know, God help us, because it's not as complicated as a lot of people think. It's as simply as confessing and believing that God died and rose again for you. You think about that. That's as simple. Even a child can be saved. So he made it that way. And a lot of people get confused and with it, but it's really simple, and God made it that way. Here we see in verse 14, and we have seen and do testify, verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we know and believe the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So here we see God is love. And that's the name of my message tonight. Love has a word, has a name, and that's God. Because God is love, let us love one another. You know, we love him because he first loved us. I can remember being 39 years old, going to a revival on a Thursday night, and all week long I kept thinking, I need to be saved. And I kept sitting there. Pride would not let me get up. I got home that night, 1 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't stand it no more. I got down in the floor and I gave my life to Christ. And I've not been the same since. God has showed me so much. I've failed him. I've failed him a lot. But he's always showed me that he's there for me. He just illustrated that this week with me and Susan. And he showed us what we needed, and he came through for what we needed, and it was just, it's just unreal how he takes care of us. Amen. And the things he does for us. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So here we see that to show our love for God, that we need to love each other. That's a pretty strong statement right there in verse 20, ain't it? We can prove ourselves to be a liar. We have to be careful. The last point I want to talk about is the light. If you turn over to 1 John 1, just a couple of verses here. 1 John 1 and verses 5 through 7. It says, but whosoever keepeth his word, we'll start over here. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sins. So here we see, if you take the Spirit and you allow the Spirit to lead and guide and direct you, it'll show you how to love one another and be a light.
Amen.
That's how we can be a light to those that are lost in a dark world. I remember, and maybe y'all can remember the day that you walked in darkness, and maybe someone that you knew and you had a lot of respect for, and you watched them live right, and they showed you how you walk in the light. I know I did, and I watched him walk every day the right way. So when he witnessed to me, it was very powerful because I knew he lived what he was saying. You know, God set the example for us all through the Bible. You know, you've heard the old saying, I won't ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do. A lot of supervisors will tell you that. And maybe your dad's told you that before, or your grandfather. You know, Jesus, same way. He walked in the flesh. He was 100% man, 100% spirit, 100% man. And he walked. He's flesh and blood, just like me and you. He walked and was tempted, just like me and you. He had to go through everything that we went through, and he did it without committing one sin. But he loved us enough to become the sin of the whole world and to die for that sin. There's no greater love in this whole wide world that compared to that. Amen? That's all I have tonight. Well, has anybody got anything